from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
The Bills have signed 4-year veteran Terrell Burgess.
You know, you want them competing and you want guys pushing each other to the edge and trying not to cross it. So you try to be ready. We're all trying to make each other better. These are brothers and they're competitive and they're all fighting for jobs.
Give Brandon Bean a lot of credit.
The camp Josh Allen's had, which I think you can make an argument it's been the best training camp he's ever had.
Vaughn is Vaughn. 40 is back.
Mike Danger.
So a break for the Bills, a day off. We're back in studio before returning back to St. John Fisher tomorrow. The week wraps for the team with the return of the blue and the red at Highmark Stadium on Friday.
Gene Battaglia.
I don't have the 36 years that Mike Catalana has, but you know what I have, Danger? I got 25. My first camp was at Fredonia. I have watched these camps every single year. There's somebody that looks great, and you're like, yeah, but.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You're back in the sports bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Let's get caught up with our buddy Bart Winkler. You can hear him late nights on the Infinity Sports Network right here on 95.7 The Fan and AM 950. Bart, since last time we spoke, the Green Bay Packers quarterback became the highest paid quarterback of all time in Jordan Love. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I got my third straight quarterback. That's good. Now, the other two I end up not liking as people afterwards, but I'm going to enjoy this one while I still like them, so that's good.
So, Bart, I mean, I had people telling me Jordan Love is going to be the highest paid quarterback when these deals come out here this preseason. I'm like, it was 8 games. There's no way they're going to make it. It was 8 games. And then, sure enough, yeah, they make him the highest paid quarterback. I guess Green Bay doesn't have a choice, but, man, that feels like quite the investment in somebody who, for half of last season, still looked like he was figuring it out.
So you fall into the 8-game trap too? Is that what's happening?
Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, they're paying him for what he's going to do.
Yes.
Okay? And that's what all these quarterbacks are doing. And you did hit on the main point, which is something that I have been harping on to death. And I feel very redundant when I talk about it, but I keep saying it because it's the truth, and I would love to look at these contracts and get all worked up. I would love to look at Tua's deal and get all worked up. I would love to look at Lawrence's deal and get all worked up, but I can't, because what happens in this league now is when you have a quarterback, you have to pay the guy if he's good. And I think everybody has gone through this scenario pretty well. There's a lot of teams this offseason that didn't have a good quarterback, so they got rid of him, whether it was Kenny Pickett or Sam Howell or whoever. And there's a lot of teams that have a good quarterback, and so you pay the guy. That's just where we're at. The option that people are looking for is, well, don't pay Jordan Love. Don't pay. Well, what are they going to do? There's nothing else to do. There's no other way. You don't put 3 years into a guy as a backup and then have him play. see that he does play very well. And yes, the second half of the season was better than the first, but there's enough there that you're thinking, okay, I think we got our guy. You have to pay the guy if he's good. That's just how it works. And there's a lot of quarterbacks that are good enough to get paid. The money's astronomical. I understand that. If you look at the salary cap breakdown, this is basically it's a four-year, $220 million deal. It's basically three for $150. Because the last year, it's like a $75 million thing, which they're going to, you know, give another extension or say bye at that point. But he's getting a bunch of money up front. It's not more than 13% of the salary cap in any time. So I have a hard time understanding, well, why is it reported as so much money? But it is. Either way, I'm satisfied with the play that they got of Jordan Love, that he is going to continue to be the quarterback of the Packers, if for no other reason, then what else are they going to do?
Well, it
sucks, but yeah, that's the truth.
I get it. I mean, and look, the guy was going to make, what, $10.5 million before this extension, so I understand why he's like, no, I need a new deal, because I would certainly say he's worth more than $10.5 million. So the Packers do what they do with Jordan Love. What took Miami so long to make up their mind on Tua?
Well, I think the problem with Tua is, and here's like the other thing with this, is if you have a quarterback that is good, you have to pay him, right? Because what is the other scenario? I just went over that very eloquently, I would say. But then the other question is, okay, well, if we pay him, are we going to get a Super Bowl out of this? And I think, some teams can... I mean, it is the best. It really is the best option for Miami. It is the best option to pay him. And I think they structured it a little differently. Their structure is he's getting a chunk of the cap. Like, I think the next couple of years, he's 1/5 of the cap. And so what they're doing is saying, okay, if we're going to win with Tua, it's going to be in the next couple of years. And then we've got an easier out. I think the Packers set theirs up where they do believe they're going to give him another contract after this one. I think the Dolphins gave themselves a little more room, saying, all right, let's think that he's our guy now, but we still maybe have some long-term concerns, if for nothing else than the injuries and the concussions and all that kind of stuff. The other thing is, as I was saying, are we going to win a Super Bowl with this guy? I think when we were doing this show last Friday, when both of these stories came out, a lot of people that were calling in were – okay, I mean, it was basically the same call every night. It was, wow, Jordan Love, you know, half a season. Okay, but I get it, though, because I'd rather pay him than Tua, which was kind of the resounding sentiment. So, again, if you have a quarterback, what were they going to do? Skylar Thompson? But are they going to win a Super Bowl because of Tua? I don't know. It's just a really weird situation where we're in, and we still have Dak to get paid. We're going to get Brock Purdy at some point. At some point, Josh Allen's going to be like, wait a minute here. I know I signed a long deal, but I'm getting $12, $15, $20 million less than Trevor Lawrence. So it's going to get even worse if you're somebody that hates these big contracts.
I'm curious about the switch. Bart Winkler is our guest here, because with Jordan Love beginning, you're watching that even, Bart, you're like, I don't know if this is it. And then all of a sudden, boom, it was it. We've seen other quarterbacks just get the numbers of reps. Eli Manning right at the top of the list in my mind, like he was brutal at the beginning. And then it was about game 10, like, wait, there is something here. So the question is about Jordan Love. What caused the switch to all of a sudden where he all of a sudden started to look like this quarterback you could build around?
I think maybe I talked about this with you guys, but I was so, like, perplexed about if they were doing this with Jordan Love, trying to figure out if he was the guy. Why are you doing it where he has all these rookie receivers, and I think Christian Watson was hurt for most of this time, and all these rookie tight ends, like, why are you giving him a bunch of guys that also are trying to learn how to play in the NFL together? Why can't he, like, this is a tough situation for him. But I think as they all kind of developed through that, they all got better together. And once the receivers started playing better, Jordan Love was playing better. There's a lot of throws that if you go back and watch, it's like, wow, that was a really great throw, but it was also a really great catch. And so sometimes there is two parts to this equation. Also, I think that Jordan Love, like, they baked him for 3 years. I don't know that he is good if he just starts as a rookie. And I don't know which quarterbacks it benefits. I don't know which quarterbacks it would hurt. You know, you look at some of these guys that are going to play this year, it looks like Drake May is going to sit. Are we going to look back and say, oh, gosh, Drake May should have started right away? Are we going to look back and say, Caleb Williams shouldn't have started right away? I don't know. But I know in the case of the Packers, like, I don't think Aaron Rodgers gets anywhere near the career he had if he played as a rookie. He threw weird. They had to change his whole motion. And I don't think Jordan Love is anywhere near this if he played as a rookie. There's some Aaron Rodgers-type stuff that he does, similar to how there was some Favre-type stuff that Rodgers did. So I think that the process that they went through, while it sucks in the moment because you think, why are we drafting this guy in the first round when we're a player away from the Super Bowl or whatever fans think, I thought, it does pay off when you give this guy essentially 3 years to learn how to do your job before your first day of work. So I think that was a big part of it, too.
Now, Bart, we wanted to have you on with us today, not just to talk about the Packers' move with Jordan Love, but selfishly, we love when you talk about Aaron Rodgers. We know you're going to talk about him in glowing praise in terms of just, you know, high praise. And I don't think we've had you on since mandatory minicamp. I know we haven't had you on since we had Robert Saleh say that, you know, he's fairly certain, his gut tells him that Aaron Rodgers shouldn't play any of this preseason. Does this feel like it fits the Aaron Rodgers recipe that you've come to know and hate over his last few years in Green Bay?
I know that many fans of your program were also diehard fans of mine. So I would like them to pay close attention that if you ever hear me just like go into a tirade about how much I hate Aaron Rodgers as a person, I'm doing it because I have nothing else to say. And that's kind of like, you know, a comedian just falls back on their greatest bit. that's what I'm doing. Again, the thing with Aaron Rodgers is the Jets have had him for 4 plays. And do you know how much time and energy that Jets fans, that the league has spent on this man for 4 plays? The off season, the stuff in training camp now, where he's like fake yelling at these dudes, the Egypt thing, the vice president thing. I mean, it's always something with Aaron Rodgers, and now there's even less payoff for the time being. When he was with the Packers, it's like, okay, I can deal with all these interviews and I can deal with all these weird comments and I can deal with how he's trying to make a pretzel of the English language, because at least he gets us to the NFC Championship game before he chokes. But now with the Jets, it's all this stuff and he's giving you 4 plays, and now he's not going to play in the preseason because the Achilles isn't healed yet. When last year, after 2 months,
yeah,
he was telling Pat McAfee, oh, I might be able to play by December 1st. And everybody just ate it up. When Rodgers talks, that's not a verifiable news source, okay? We got to stop treating Rodgers like he is a source, like he has information. Rodgers is a liar. Rodgers is a weird person. Rodgers is a psycho. Rodgers is not a reliable dude with information. So we need to stop giving him the time and oxygen that we give him. Clearly, I am handling my emotions well.
All you just said about Rodgers, I mean, I think there's a career in politics. I really do. I mean, you just described a perfect politician moving forward.
I was trying to be facetious and coy about that, but you did call me on it, yes.
Here's what I don't like about what the NFL did here, Bart. Okay, so the Jets open against San Francisco. I would figure that was a loss, but you don't need Aaron Rodgers at the beginning of the schedule. You get Will Levis, Jacoby Brissett, Bo Nix, another rookie in Minnesota, and then a Monday night game, Buffalo going to New York. You know the Jets are going to be everybody's darling in October. Just plug your ears here, Bart.
Well, if they win, but again, I don't know. I was so excited last year to watch Rodgers play because I thought he was going to be bad. Now, I don't know what we're going to get from him this season, and there is still very much the potential that he's good. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, you know, the Jets could be good because you remember in your brain the good times of Aaron Rodgers. I remember in my brain the last I saw of Aaron Rodgers, which was a game against the Lions,
yep,
where he looked like he didn't want to be there with a playoff berth on the line, where the Lions had nothing to play for, and he was throwing interceptions like he was playing the game 500. It was a disaster. So I don't know, a year and a half removed from that, after an injury, if Rodgers is going to be good. Like, I still think he can throw the football well, and he's got a great zip to the ball. And his, you know, decision-making is probably good. I've always thought he was one of the smarter quarterbacks in the league. But we still haven't seen him much with this team, with this offense, and with these players. So there is still very much the chance that this could blow up in their face. It could be bad. I think, yeah, the schedule is maybe advantageous in terms of who they're playing, but that's just on the Jets' defensive side. I don't know that Rodgers is going to perform well. He might. He also might not. People are just assuming he does. I'm assuming he might not. They have a lot of weird primetime games. They're going to be on TV a lot, so he's got to step up to that pressure. And again, he's got to stay healthy. So if I'm a Bills fan, if I'm a Dolphins fan, I'm not worrying about the Jets until the Jets give me something to worry about.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Bart, before we let you go, I just want to quickly get your thoughts as we kind of zoom out the lens a little bit in the AFC and in the NFC. Are there teams that you see standing up? Because right now in the AFC, I have a hard time seeing a team looking better than what Kansas City looked like last year. I need to see it with my own eyes and be like, oh, that team can rival Kansas City. Because right now it feels like it's Kansas City and everybody else. Do you feel the same way? And what are your thoughts on how the NFC is kind of shaping up here through the course of the preseason?
All right, so I'm just going to freestyle and give you thoughts on teams as they come to my head.
Very good.
The Chiefs, I think people are going to say, well, the Chiefs aren't going to repeat because there's never been a three-time Super Bowl champion. And they're going to discredit them right away when they forget that the Chiefs are amazing and basically New England part two, and maybe even could be better. The Chiefs have had all these things thrown at them. They trade their best receiver, win a couple of Super Bowls. They have all these like weird off-the-field problems that might sink any other team, and the Chiefs just keep rolling with the punches. The Chiefs last year, I think it was on Christmas, they lost to the Raiders,
yeah,
looked terrible. And then they just go ahead and turn it on and win a Super Bowl. So I am not, like you, doubting the Chiefs until somebody beats them. They don't care. You want to have an AFC championship game in Baltimore? Okay, we'll go play there, and then we'll embarrass you. So, yeah, the Chiefs, I think, should be the favorite. I'm high on Baltimore. I still am high on Lamar. I like the Derrick Henry addition there. I think that the Chargers are eventually going to be good, but I'm not putting them as one of my playoff teams quite yet. I think a lot of people are in on Harbaugh and Herbert, and that's fine. I don't think the rest of that roster is that great. Who else do I like? I'm curious to see how the AFC South goes. If Anthony Richardson can stay healthy, that might add something to that equation. I don't think Jacksonville's as bad as they were in the last month of the season. I'm interested in Buffalo with the loss of Stephon Diggs, because sometimes that can be addition by subtraction. See Kansas City, see Green Bay with no Devontae Adams. In the NFC, I can't give you a real breakdown of the San Francisco 49ers because I have said I think they're going to miss the playoffs, but I only say that out of a portion of hatred because I don't like them. So I can't give you a real breakdown on them. Who else do I like? I think that the Lions probably still win the North, but the Packers will be right there. I'm more optimistic about the Bears than Bears fans are because I do believe in Caleb Williams, and I think Atlanta is going to be better. I don't think they ever win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. Maybe they do with Penix Jr., but I think they're going to be better in the NFC. Just spitballing some stuff off the top of my brain.
So, Bart, after years of doing morning radio in Milwaukee, now you're national late at night. What's that been like going from one time to another here?
It's like it's the most aggressive change you can do in this business, I think. It is wild. It's weird. The weird thing about it is I get up like at a reasonable hour, I think, and I do stuff around the house and I do, you know, work-related things, and then I'm with my kid and then I'm doing all this stuff. So I like live a human day and then I have to go to work.
Yeah.
That's a little different. I like being the morning guy because you kind of get the first crack at things, and I've always liked that. But there's part of that that I do like about being on at night. Like, the schedule's just different to adjust, but the fact that when an NBA Finals game ends and I'm the one on the air, the fact that I'm going to have Monday night and Thursday night football and I'm the one on the air, I'm going to make such a huge deal about this Hall of Fame game tomorrow, even though it's going to suck, just because we're going to have a game, and you get to be on the air right away. Like, there is, you know, with the morning, you know, there's nothing that happens during the show, really, except for a rare occasion. So you plan it out, and you know your steps. But with the late night show, when things are happening and things are finishing, there's a little more spontaneity to it, which I've liked. I like that. So while it's weird, it's still weird for me to work at those hours. There's a part of it that I do enjoy that you just cannot get in the morning.
Go say hey to Zach Gelb for us, Bart. We'll listen for you tonight on the Fan, and thanks for making time for us as always, buddy.
Anytime, guys. Hope to talk soon.
You got it.
Thanks, Bart.
Bart Winkler. You'll hear him later tonight, late night on Infinity Sports Network here on The Fan, Rochester. And I think he's done with us. He's going to go and say hi to our buddy Zach Gelb, who's on the Infinity Sports Network right now.
We're warming him up there for the national show. I think his line about Aaron Rodgers being a comedian's best bit, like, what would be our best bit?
Ooh.
Like, hey, it's a slow day. Let's listen to the best of Masterstroke.
Yeah, right, Masterstroke is probably still our best bet, our best bit. And now we're so removed from it. I mean, it really, that was like the infancy of the sports bar, like year two of the sports bar. We've been on the air now for 8 years. And, you know, we haven't worked with Masterstroke now in almost as much time as we have worked with him, right?
That's wild.
You know, when he was here and present and daily, we could, you know, pick his brain and let him kind of on his face.
Pick his brain, he'd be coming in your office. You know, I really think the Bills are going to win.
Yeah, yeah. I've done my research, and I've read the articles, and I love the guy. But man, I mean, like, that was... you know, if you're new to the show and you hear us say Masterstroke, we got plenty of like kind of inside things. And if you listen every day, you know about it. You probably are wondering, like, if you're new to the show, what the hell's up with these guys and the Mike Francesa drop?
Oh, who cares?
And the nine times.
Nine times.
master stroke. And we've got a handful of those that are kind of like our fallback best bits. But we try not to relay.
We
don't want to rely on them too much, especially the master stroke, because it was just so good for such a good period of time there.
I kept thought, he's going to hit it right. They kept getting worse and worse.
No, I mean, the bit died when he was right. Because nobody cares. Nobody cares when Master Stroke is right. We only wanted him to flame out horrifically like he did with his original prediction that Nathan Peterman was a smart decision over Tyrod Taylor. I mean, we'll never, ever forget that moment, that day. I mean, we just, our eyes, before we got on the air that day, I'll always remember it. He came into my office and our eyes got wide. And we're like, you know what, dude? Come on the air with us. Come on the air with us and share your take on Nathan Peterman.
This is a masterstroke by McDermott.
Anything more than what Tyrod did last week, I would consider thriving for a Buffalo Bills quarterback.
Then that should be Peterman's stats after the first quarter.
Peterman is going to make mistakes.
He might not make it out of the first half.
I have been waiting since week one, and I think that Peterman, from everything we've seen in preseason and in the little bit in New Orleans... Yeah. I think he's the man.
Dom, I'm warning you.
You watch, Gene.
You are crazy. Why can't it be us? Dude, you're going to be so disappointed.
I'm not. Monday. There is no way I'm going to be disappointed Monday.
Thus, a legend was born. That was the beginning of Masterstroke. And if you missed it, if you forgot, he was disappointed on Monday. Peterman made it through the first half, but that was it.
Yeah, the first quarterback ever to throw 5 interceptions in the half.
But you saw, I mean, I remember I was at that New Orleans game. Tyrod was terrible in that New Orleans game. New Orleans just absolutely embarrassed the Bills at home, and McDermott just looked outmatched as a coach. Like, Sean Payton was embarrassing him. They still had Drew Brees at the time. I mean, New Orleans was still a good team, well-oiled machine, and Tyrod's out there like a buffoon. Just like they couldn't get out of their own way. They pull Tyrod late in the game, and everybody in the stadium goes berserk for Nathan Peterman. And I'm like, this is a mistake. This is not going to work the way you guys think it's going to work. There's a reason why he's a 6th-round draft pick. I can't get excited about Nathan Peterman as your starting quarterback. There's a reason why he's a 6th-round draft. And sure enough, against the Chargers the following week, it didn't get any better, and Master Stroke was born. That's probably number one on the list. But if you're, look, every now and then, we try to keep it open and we try to reset takes and reset stories. Like when we say Mr. Mayo, you know, Gene does a good job of saying, why do we call him Mr. Mayo? Because the first time you interviewed Gerard Mayo, he was a rookie, and you mispronounced his name.
His first name, I called him Jared, and he corrected me. Which that made me feel, and as a professional, that's something you got to know going into it. So I felt terrible, but then your mind starts to play tricks on you. Like, wait, is it Jared or Gerard? Is it Gerard or Jared? I'm thinking, I can't make the same mistake twice. So he's done with the interview. And what do? I thank the 21-year-old Mr. Mayo.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayo.
Yeah, you're a grown man. Grown-ass man talking to a 21-year-old, calling him Mr. Mayo because you couldn't remember how to pronounce his first name. That's a good one. Of course, Chuck Muncy is a good one. I mean, you know, like if you wonder why we talk about Chuck Muncy, it's because Chuck Muncy is to Gene Battaglia what Baba Booey is to Howard Stern.
When I was in college, hosted just the college radio show, and I would be thinking that it was taking real callers from the Bronx, but little did I know, it was just people goofing on me, and they would segue some point over to Chuck Muncy. And that wasn't a story I wanted to bring to the air. It was because, well, this all started the Heat game. The one where the Bills lost early in the year, September, where it was 100 degrees or whatever it was in Miami, and we get a call that's making all these legitimate points from what I remember. Hey, Josh Allen can't do it all himself. He needs more help. He needs a running back.
Right.
Someone
we got excited because we get a call from outside of the Rochester Metro. I'm like, oh, hey. Wow. Joe is listening in the Odyssey app in Schenectady.
I just wanted to say one other thing. Look, that they need a big, strong, powerful runner. Somebody like a Chuck Muncy. I think.
There it is. There it is.
Darn it. Darn
Gino it, got, darn trolled. Got trolled. Yeah, Joe. I love it.
I have to explain what that was and who Chuck Muncy was. But then as you learn more about Chuck Muncy, you're like, wow, I remember him. I like him.
I love Chuck Muncy as a player. I remember him with the Chargers. He was fantastic. He's part of that Dan Fouts, yes. Eric Coryell. He was great. Yeah, he's got great, fun memories of Chuck Muncy before. What did he overdose, freebase? He used to freebase in the locker room.
He would freebase before the game, and you know, baseball had their uppers, and yes, in the 80s, you would freebase.
And Chuck Muncy's life cut short. I don't know how much that addiction led to that short life, but he is forever immortalized in our studio with the picture behind Gino there that I picked up at the Collectibles show a few weeks ago. Chuck Muncy as a New Orleans Saint, just getting himself cleaned up there after probably taking a very vicious, violent hit. Somebody holding his horn-rimmed glasses. Got some smelling salts. No blue tent back in the 70s.
No, just smelling salts. Get up.
No blue tent back in the 70s. Appreciate Bart Winkler stopping by. It's always fun catching up with him. And again, listen to the Fan Rochester later tonight. Bart's on after 10 o'clock after JR Sport Brief, and he always brings it. It's fantastic. Gino, I know you've got some takes that you want to share. We've got a couple of headlines from around the NFL to get to. Happy hour is less than a half an hour away.
Yeah,
I
got a take. There is going to be this name on defense that I think will get traded before the start of the NFL season. Is it a fit for Buffalo or not? I want to explore that a little bit. And you were talking about like inside jokes. Like, sports provides this opportunity for inside jokes. I'm going to bring up another name here.
Okay, we'll get to that and more next. We've got a couple of headlines to get to from the Buffalo Bills and from the NFL as well. And if you want to join us, you're welcome to anytime at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326. You can engage with us on X at The Fan Rochester. And don't forget about our Twitch stream at twitch.tv/TheFanRochester or our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe there. You can engage with us, comment on our YouTube channel as well, where we are streaming live.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 oh, yeah. FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.